It's Thursday, June 19th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 957, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a managed WordPress site for just $1 a month and a free domain name at GoDaddy by picking up by using one of my promo codes, or you can get $1.99.com as well. All my promo codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Kind of a weird start to the show tonight. Everyone, I got a great show for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to Geek News Central. Hey, I tell you, it's kind of a... It's a good night here in Hawaii, and I want to welcome you to the show, even though I can't seem to talk tonight for some reason, but... I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here and thanks for staying subscribed. And if you're brand new to the show, it doesn't usually start off this herky-jerky, but it just happens that way sometimes. But show 957 and on our countdown to 1,000. And it's pretty excited about that. And a lot of stuff going on here. Share a little bit about that with you here in a few minutes, of course, and also about some major decisions I've made in upcoming events in the new year. I'm already planning all the way out into 2015, so we'll talk about that a little bit. But more importantly, I want to make sure that all the new listeners get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content on the website, of course. We want you to subscribe to the show. You can find that right there in the second column of the website. And, of course, the newsletter link on the top right-hand part of the website. Hey, I do want to talk to you guys just a little bit about why the website is still, we're not ready to roll out the new version. Largely, we had a big contract come in, and Angelo's been working pretty much nonstop to fulfill the contract, and if everything goes right, we deliver the product to the customer tomorrow at about 4, and then maybe he can breathe a little bit and actually skin up the site, and we can get it get the new site launched. And it's been a long time coming. I'm a little bit as impatient as the rest of you folks go, but I guarantee it's going to be worth the wait once the new site comes online. And it's, you know, it's basically like fine wine. It just takes a little time to get it done, and also for me to fit into the priority stack of the team as well, to make sure that you know, we're not taken away from revenue opportunities with the company. But of course, by being subscribed to the show, it doesn't matter. You don't even have to come to the website. You get the show automatically in your favorite podcatcher. Either be via the iTunes podcast app or anything that you're using on Android. And again, as we said last show, we want all of you Android listeners to share how to subscribe to the show with your friends and neighbors that also have Android devices, because you Android users are largely missing from the overall podcast community, and we really do want you here. Of course, if you want to reach out to me, it's real easy to do via Twitter at Geek News, or you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. That'll get to me either way, so I want you to do that and stay in touch, provide feedback on the show. That's the most important thing, is let me know what you think about the content, and we had some great feedback from the last show. We'll talk about that at the end of the podcast today. All right, what else? Of course, you can watch the show on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Chromecast, just on your web browser, your iPad, your tablet, your Android tablet, whatever device you have. We're tracking well over 100-plus devices that consume the show each and every week. So we definitely get out there and get access to the content in the multitudes of ways that we make available for you. Okay, so just a little bit here. Of course, we want to thank our sponsor. Sponsor of the show tonight, of course, is largely in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And as I so boldly blew at the very beginning of the show, you can find all the promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And yes, you can get a managed WordPress site for just $1 a month. And with that, a free domain name. And you can get a domain name standalone all by itself for $1.99. And all my codes, again, can be found on that page. Go 32% off your order. That code is going to probably expire here in just about 11 days. So get it while you can. 25% off your order. This includes new top-level domains by using the promo code go25off5.com for $1.99 is GNC199. The $1 a month WordPress hosting with a free domain is Press4. And a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain is Geeks12. And of course, you can basically get over to GoDaddy. And once you're at that checkout counter, you can try all my codes to see which one gives you the biggest discount. And I think that's really important from a being able to save money, because you can mix and match. You can buy a couple of domains and you can buy some hosting products and, you know, vice versa, and use different codes to save different money. So we definitely want you to get over to GoDaddy.com and pick up one of their great products and services. I think you guys know that I'm a big fan of GoDaddy. They've been here with us since July of 2005. And 216 of you took advantage of our promo codes last month, and we want that number to grow. Okay, so let's talk just a little bit about, again, thanks to GoDaddy, but let's talk just a little bit about some things I've got going on here. So what I decided to do, prior to our big family vacation, you guys know that I've been on a sustained weight loss program, trying to work real hard to lose some weight. And when I went off to my trip last week, wasn't able to stay perfectly on the wagon, put on about 5 pounds that week, and really was, you know, I was basically still 10 pounds down, but I really decided yesterday. It's so hard for me to do this every other day thing. And, so I said to my wife, I said, why don't I just do another 10-day stint? And, she agreed. So I am, today officially day one of my next 10-day, transformation. And, I'll keep you guys advised of where the weight loss happens on the second time. And really it's the system they have at Perium is pretty incredible, because even though tonight I'm just a little bit more tired than I normally would be, I know by day two or day three of being on this program that, you know, consistently every day that my energy levels will be way, way up. And I don't know what it is, but, you know, having been off on what I guess called regular food and some processed food definitely brought the metabolism down. So the goal is to kick it up here. And then as we leave for vacation, for 9 days, is to hopefully not completely blow it while we're gone, with my wife being there to help, for a better word, keep the motivation up and keep the meals on track. But so anyway, that's what's going to happen here. I'll keep you advised where things are going to go, and I'll give you a weigh-in on the next show this next coming Monday. As many of you that are part of our newsletter, you probably received an email yesterday with me basically saying, hey, I'm looking to grow shows here at Geek News Central, and I am very serious about growing a handful of shows. And so far, we've had two very serious responses that have come back. One is a listener, and one's an existing podcaster that I've worked with a lot before, that's thinking about bringing a show underneath the essentially the brand. Now, they'll still be an independent show with their own domain name and their own website, the way we're coming up with this new site design. It'd be a closer collaboration, working together. And I look forward to taking input from folks and bringing more shows on board, and really to really kind of round out the topic offerings that we have here, along with the continued writing by the team of bloggers that we have that are putting content up on the site on a daily basis. So if you've considered it, even if you basically are somewhat undecided. Really looking for a 2-year commitment from folks. And, you know, we know that Don Bain, the Gadget Professor, has just recently had his 3-year anniversary of his show. And we're glad to have Don here. And, of course, Langley with Robot Underpants and his team. So let me talk just a little bit to the insiders. We've picked up some insiders over the past week or two, and I've been noticing some new folks becoming insiders. We definitely appreciate all of you that have came in at the $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 level. I think we had a number of folks come in at $5 and a number of folks come in at $10, and I definitely appreciate that. If you haven't gotten in touch with Sam to get you on the insider mailing list and to be connected on all the communities, we want you to send Sam an email, insider@geeknewscentral.com. So while I was out on this last trip, and of course when I visited the Twit studio, one thing that really made me go, just a little bit, was that they use a lot of accent lighting in their studio. Now, this studio, you guys know there's not a lot of angles that I can use, not huge angles, largely because the studio just doesn't, it's not big enough. You know, we're kind of small. And, you know, if you take, for example, this shot, you know, it's coming back across and into the back corner. But what I've decided to do and what I have done is I've ordered some accent lighting, and relatively inexpensive. The accent lighting should be here tomorrow. They're bars. They're from, they're actually DJ type lighting bars that have multicolors, and you can set the color tone. The goal will be to be able to see if we can match the, you know, whatever motif I run in the back there with what's on the side walls, and kind of try to change the overall view of the studio here a little bit just by the accent lighting. I think it'll make a big difference. So we'll see. I've invested about $320 in this accent lighting to see how it's going to work. First, kind of like even major lighting change for me here in a long, long time. And there'll be probably some experimentation that goes on. Me cussing while we're trying to move stuff around and make it work. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But that's forthcoming. And maybe we'll have something up for you by Monday, and see what you think about it. All right, I did want to talk just a little bit and about CES 2015. I have essentially made the decision that things have got to change, and I think we've talked a little bit about that on a previous show. The amount of money that I spend to go to do the CES event is probably anywhere from $13,000 to $20,000. That's how much I have to fork out to take the gear, pay for some extra hotel rooms, food, transportation, shipping, internet. By the time it's all done, it's probably that amount, and it varies year to year. And our security alone last year, I think, was $2,500. Basically, what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to go back to the old school way of doing the show. And I'm still going to go, and we're going to get a team together, and we're still going to go. And I'm going to work with CEA. Maybe we can still hold our same spot, but make that more of a work area / interview lounge versus a live broadcast studio. It's nice to have a place to come back to and sit down and work where we don't have to, because there's really never a place to sit down unless you go to the press room, and that's always crowded. And I'm thinking maybe this would be a better way to go. And that way, when we leave at night, all we leave is the couches, and we don't really have to take any furniture or take any gear besides our laptops. And if someone wants to do an interview, they set up a tripod and do an interview in the studio. Or in the little lounge that I'm thinking about putting together. And I'm also going to be, it's not necessarily going to be a tech podcast event. We'll work with the TPN members that want to come in, but there's going to be some ground rules and some change ground rules from previous years. And also essentially a... we want people that are serious about doing the show, doing the event, and probably there'll be some sort of a, I guess for a better word, a kicker fee to come in and basically be part of the team. I want everyone to, you know, financially be, for a better word, to be engaged in the event. Bankrolling it on my own, even though we have sponsors, typically the sponsor money never fully covers anywhere close to fully covering the complete event. So what we've done in the past is obviously it's been a gateway, and I can't trade, and I've said this many, many times, CES is a great place for me to meet vendors and talk with folks, and we get gear throughout the year. And, you know, it's really those types of relationships that I feel is better. But I don't think I've had enough time in the past 3 or 4 years to really build those relationships to the level they need to be, because my hair's on fire, running around, doing all the stuff that's required to do. And plus, it's about a 3-month period of time that everything else suffers. And I just can't afford a 3-month, you know, a month to prepare, do the show, and 2 months of post-production. It just can't do it any longer and not have things change. So I'll be talking with the TPN members over the next week or so about this new idea. And some will, some won't. And that's just the way it is. But things have to change. And a number of things drove this. Oftentimes, you guys have no idea what's happening behind the scenes. You see, typically you'll see me calm, cool, and collect, and we may laugh about me being stressed out. But last year was no fun for me to do. It was fun to do the interviews, but everything else associated with the setup, shipping, teardown was absolutely no fun. And I've always vowed that what I want to do, I want to have fun. I want to enjoy this. I want to have, and if I'm stressed, the content to you guys is not going to be any good. So this show is not going to change whatsoever. Not a bit. It's going to continue the way it has and will. I still love doing the show, but the events are going to change a little bit. Now, if someone comes to us and says, hey, we got a big check, we want you to do this, yeah, well, think about it. But I'm not going to do that unless there's a, you know, very large check that makes the pain, the cash, overrule the pain. And so we'll see. And, I'm going to be reaching out to some of the team members. I'll be, reaching out to Jack and say, Jack, do you still want to come? Even though we may not have a studio, we may be doing more walking around. But I think it's time for a change up. And we might even try to do a little live, maybe with the little broadcaster box or something, do an hour or something, and in a more relaxed, kickback, sit down type of thing, where we're just rapping and chatting and having a good time, and not being on this, this hardcore schedule that we do. So, and I think it'll make for better content. It may not be as much. Oftentimes, we were shooting for, my goal was to beat everyone else there, and that was kind of end up to be in my mind kind of stupid, because I was focused on the quantity and not necessarily the quality. So definitely a change of pace here for me, and I think you guys will like it as much as I do. Maybe we do more back channel stuff, stuff that we have fun with. Some things won't change, but I just don't think we're going to do live. I don't think I need to do that. There's too many other big companies there. The Verge is there. Engadget's there. All these huge, and they got a team of 40 people in a trailer in the back. And the guys that, we go with, we have some support folks that, God bless them, are there to help us from a support standpoint. But at the same time, the majority of team members are podcasters. And it's just, there's not enough hours in the day. And quite frankly, we're all getting a little bit older, and I don't want to have to stress so much. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I'm not lugging the host studio to Vegas this year. Someone's going to have to either really twist my ear in a big way. Todd wants to enjoy CES and other events. I want to start going, because what happens is I spend all that money, huge amount of cash, to go to CES and cover that. And then what it really does, it impacts me from being able to cover a couple of other small shows, because we've shot a huge bunch because, you know, it's being bankrolled by Todd. You know, it's, I'm not able to go to these other events as much, and I want to do that more. So just, you know, I don't know, I probably told you guys way too much, but you're part of the family here, part of the Ohana, and I just kind of wanted to give you an idea where I was at. This is the time of year I usually kind of think about this kind of stuff. But anyway, I've already wrapped about this stuff long enough. Let's go ahead and get into the full lineup of content tonight. I have a great stack of stuff for you here. And don't forget, if you want to get involved in what I'm doing here with trying to transform the geekly body here, promo code podcast at myperium.com/podcast is the place to go. Okay, so let me look and make sure I get on my stack here. Dun, 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 dun. Yep, we got it all good. And I think I can close this. Let me save that and minimize. I got a house full of people here today. My wife's girlfriends are over and a whole bunch of kids. You guys can't hear them, but they're back there yakking. Hey, I want to talk about one thing I saw that I kind of tweeted about it yesterday, but I wanted to talk about it a little more tonight. And there's a dude that made this app, and all the app does is say, yo, yo, that's it. It just sends a text message, yo, yo. And this individual somehow scammed $1 million, $200,000 from one investor, but another $800,000 from some other investors to have a simple app that does nothing but say, yo. And I mean, this is absolute, for a better word, insanity. What? Hey, $1 million? You want to see what someone can really do with $1 million? You know, I've learned how to run a company, you know, $1 million? Give me $1 million and we can do some incredible shit. I'm going to tell you straight up. But $1 million for an app that he coded in like 3 hours that says, yo? Somebody, you know, you don't give $200,000 or $800,000 to this guy? I got a bridge. I got this bridge in San Francisco. It's called the Golden Gate Bridge. I'll print you out a title for it. For $1 million, if you're that stupid. And it's incredible. This guy must, you know, as I see this, I'm like, how? How did he do this? It's a mindless app. Israeli investor Moshe Hogig, the CEO of Mobily, an Instagram clone, led the 1.2 angel investment round with $200,000 from his own pocket. He declined to list the other investors, but was nice enough to speak with the folks at Gawker. He says, basically, people ask, why would you do this? He said, why not? It's a great investment. I'm like, what do you mean it's a great investment? You know, if I have $1 million as an investor, I'll stick that money in Apple or Tesla or someone else. I'm not going to give some dude $1 million for an app that says, yo. So he says, you know, I like to do things the easiest way. We're always looking for the easiest way. My secretary, I love her, but I hate to tell her to come. Now he just sends her a message that says, yo. You know, someone sends me a message that says, yo. Those of you who are watching, there's a little middle finger. That's what I'm going to be doing. Like, yo yourself. He says, hey, you can see Starbucks baristas, McDonald's cashiers, Virgin Atlantic flight crews, all sending out yo's. Wow. That's all I can say is wow. And in all honesty, $1 million for this knucklehead, it just pisses me off that these guys would do this. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't. But one thing I do get is the new Amazon Fire Phone. And Amazon basically did a version of Android. And it's not so super special, but it does have six, primary features here that are going to be big. Number one, if you're a Prime member, the music app. And you're going to be able to, be able to play the music on the app from your Prime service. It's got optical image stabilization. So basically what they're trying to do is eliminate blur that could come from a user's unsteady hand while taking a photo. That's, of course, that's in other phones too. It's got Dolby Digital Plus. It's a virtual surround for your tunes. And that's one thing. It's got a tilt scroll and eye tracking. So if you tilt it, it'll scroll and it tracks your eye where it is. Firefly. And they spend a lot of time talking about Firefly. Firefly is a visual recognition app that's part of the personal shopper plan. Now, this is where this thing is going to make the folks at Amazon a lot of money. And how come that page didn't load? So basically, you're going to be in a store and you're going to see a product and you're going to take a picture of that. And it's going to, number one, it'll recognize audio, video, or a stable object, barcodes, all that normal stuff. And it's got the ability to recognize more than 70 million products. Now, what's going to happen is, what do I do now? The first place I go, because I got Prime, I live here in Hawaii, free shipping is a big deal. The stuff I had to get, the lights I had to order, I couldn't get through Amazon. I ordered from B&H. I spent $70 to two-day FedEx them here. And that just, it drove the price of everything up, right? It, boom, boom, up we go. Well, the thing I do now when I shop, I if I'm looking for something specific, I bought some converters recently, and I bought them on Amazon because I could get them shipped free. The free shipping takes a little bit longer, 4 to 7 days, something like that, but it usually comes pretty quick. But oftentimes I go in a store, and when we're in a store, oftentimes what we'll want to do is that's an impulse buy, right? But if I break out the phone, if I break out this Amazon phone, which sucks, it's only on AT&T at this point, and I scan something, and Amazon tells me they've got it available right there at Amazon, I can just click purchase now. This is going to kill retailers in a big, big way. It's going to make... It's going to be a major impact. They think they're going to sell 1.2 million of these phones. Now, if he was smart, what he would do was he would bake this Firefly functionality into all Androids, all regular phones, so that even if I have an iPhone, I can, and I've done this before. I've got a barcode scanner. But oftentimes it doesn't, it leads me to some weird site. Well, what I really want to do is to be able to scan a product and see how much it costs and how much it's going to cost and decide right then and there whether or not the delta is so significant enough that I can just pick it up at the store or if I'm going to order it online. But I almost guarantee you that Amazon's going to beat the price. And plus, I don't usually have to pay sales tax. So... boom, I'm in there. It's going to, it's going to be dropped in my front door a couple of days later if I'm patient enough to wait. So I understand what they're doing here. And I think this is going to be a good offering for folks. They got to get a different carrier, though, not just AT&T. It's got to launch on all the other platforms. But best thing to do is just give me the Amazon shopping cart app and make me have the same features available in the app that I, and there probably is. I don't know. I don't, and maybe I should just go look at the Amazon app on the other devices. But this is going to be cool. We'll see where this leads. But lots of disruptors here. And we'll see where it leads. But again, they expect to ship, 2 to 3 million Fire Phone units the first year. So that's a pretty big number for them, considering all the competition in the space. Now, on the other side of the fence, my wife's iPhone 4 it's pretty much done. So I told her, let's go to get a new phone. For her, she's more of a penny pincher than even I am. So to me, it's like, I want this, I want that, I want this. Let's just order it. And, if I don't quibble over $6, $7, $8, $10, $15. But when she's shopping for a phone plan, we're going to bring the other two kids off Virgin Mobile. We'll get them a little better phone. And then we're going to put them on one family plan. And I think right now, we've been on T-Mobile for years. I think we're just going to stick with T-Mobile for the family plan. Now, I'm on Verizon for my iPhone, but my company pays, or Raw Voice pays for my phone. And so I'll basically, have whatever carrier that the company deems, what team deems that I should have. So, but T-Mobile now wants to give you an iPhone. You can only keep them for a week. But T-Mobile is handing out free iPhones along with a trial run of its cellular service. In its latest string of unorthodox promotions, they're going to start this on the 28th? Soon, within the next week. You're going to have to give them a credit card. If you return the phone cracked or water damaged, they're going to whack you for $700 for that. But they're really trying to get you to try their service. And, T-Mobile was eliminated binding contracts and launched deals like Jump, which lets customers upgrade phones twice a year for a modest fee instead of once every 2 years. So, you pay a little bit of a premium on that. But we were looking at the plans, and we're probably going to go with a plan where you pay every month for the phone. They give you an interest-free loan. You pay $27 a month for the iPhone. We're probably going to go with that. Well, at the same time, the folks at Sprint are trying to secure financing to basically acquire T-Mobile. They want to basically, we know that's been in works for a while, and they want to do the deal, but Sprint appears to, they're moving ahead with their plans, and but T-Mobile, is continuing doing the things they need. But the Sprint needs about $40 billion. 20 of it's coming in from Japan SoftBank, but they got to refinance T-Mobile's existing debt and so forth. So who knows? Maybe it'll end up just being Sprint in the end. Sprint, Verizon, and AT&T, and Virgin Mobile on the reseller side. For a long time, I've been talking about the Apple TV and how it at some point it's going to reach its full potential. And the rumor mill is churning in a big way. And people feel that this is the year. This is when it's going to happen. A lot of the tippers that people made was really the sinking, open season, all the things that Apple announced at the WWDC, and of course their home kit and everything, and there's got to be a tie-in someplace to some gear, and it looks like probably the Apple TV is the place to do that, along with opening up the ecosystem and publishing an API for an SDK for the Apple TV so we can build apps to it. I'm excited. I can't wait. I think it's going to be a game changer for all of us that create media, and able to put together a good app for the Apple TV. Well, apparently Microsoft was working with a company that was doing a pay-for-post. I get these emails all the time from vendors. Hey, we'd like to do a sponsored post on your website. And I'm like, no, you're not. But apparently Microsoft's company was a little bit outside the guidelines of doing sponsored post, and drew the attention of Matt Cutts, the guy at Google that is effectively known as the hammer. Microsoft has basically said, oh, no, we're not doing this. We're not working with that company. We've canceled that promotion, because what really happens is if you start doing something totally bad, the sites involved and the brand get hammered in the Google search engine. So Microsoft wisely listened to Matt Cutts and reverse course on their planned pay-to-play promotion. Google censorship ruling in Canada has some worldwide implications, maybe. Search engine censorship seems to be the rage right now, and it's generally taken in countries that have less than good track records on human rights. And maybe I should say something here, too. And this is non-tech related. And I saw yesterday, it was last evening, I was on Facebook just kind of scanning through, and I caught a video. And it was one of those videos that auto-started. You didn't have to put play. And what it was is it was quite, for a better word, horrific. And I put a post up on Facebook about it. I didn't link to it. I don't want you to go look at this video unless you really got a strong stomach, because, and I don't know why I let it play, because it really, even right now, it's disturbing me. But what it was 18 Iraqis who were basically forced to their knees, and this group that is, you know, basically raising havoc in Iraq summarily executed these guys one at a time. And just made me go, like, man, oh, man. You know, the brutality of it. And, you know, I grew up on a farm. I know what it's like to put down animals. And it was worse. They were executed worse than how animals are treated. And it was really, really bad. I don't know what's going to happen over there. I know the president had some stuff to say about it today, and I don't want to get political here at all. You guys know that I did 24 years in the Navy, and you know, we had a lot of guys go over there, and you know, they died. We spilled a lot of American blood in Iraq and Afghanistan, and you hate to see things go in reverse, but you know, these folks have been fighting for, my God, since the beginning of time, and I don't know if it's ever going to end, but the brutality was just, it was horrific. It really, really was. But so, you know, I'm really sensitive to types of things where there's censorship or where there's, no freedom of speech and fair use rights and all this stuff that we enjoy here in America. When that's being infringed, it really gets me aggravated, because, you know, freedom wasn't free. You know, and we've worked real hard in this country to, you know, maintain the rights that we have, and what's laid out in the Bill of Rights and Constitution, right? So in Canada, a court ruling just went down that basically requested that Google delist a specific company over, it's kind of a patent issue type thing. And, but the injunction requires the results of the competing company to be removed not only from google.ca, but also from Google in other countries as well. And Google said, no, the injunction doesn't, we're not going to take it off the .com or the .fr or the other country-specific Google search engines. But the judge says, yes, you shall. So, you know, what happens here with this? And we know that over the last few years, Google's been ordered to remove less than favorable results on countries, and they have had blocking issues and so forth. You know, earlier this month, China blocked Google results related to the 25th anniversary of Tiananmen Square. And so we know that the European courts favored a Spanish man who brought a case against Google, and they contained embarrassing financial information that they made him remove. So what is the aftermath here? You know, a case like the one in Canada can open the floodgates for all sorts of questions and scenarios, and the rulings provide ample opportunity for people to abuse a process and begin requesting more and more information removed from the search engines. And which, what it really does then is it, in a sense, if you and I are out searching for information on a company or individual, and in using the internet the way it was designed, and basically you can you know, you can find out product reviews and company reputations. And, you know, there's all you got to do is type in a company's name and say scam in part of the search result, and you're going to find all kinds of stuff, or legitimacy, or is this a real company? And, you know, there's just all these resources. And when they start pulling stuff off because someone's upset that they're, you know, something they did in the past is being seen, I think we have a real problem. I believe that the internet should remain open and accessible. And, you know, and what's going to end up happening if it does is that, like the situation that's happening in Iraq today, the people there, if they have free access to the internet, number one, they can get educated. They can read about different points of view and opinions and see news from other countries and how people live. And maybe we'll have over time a change for the better in some of these countries that are in absolute chaos at this point. So what do you guys think about these censorship rulings? In whatever country, in Canada being the one example. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on that at geeknews@gmail.com. And don't, please, don't go watch the video. It was bad. I mean, it was, I don't know why. I really don't know why I watched. I knew it was coming, but it was just almost like, they're not really going to do this, are they? And it was just, it was horrific. All right, let's talk about being green. Volkswagen's new 300-mile-per-gallon car not allowed in America. Well, not necessarily true. There was a There's lots of, you know, people have agendas on the internet. You know, I have an agenda. I want you guys to listen to the show. I want you to subscribe to all the shows. I want you to do everything. You know, I want you to, you know, I want you to support the sponsors. Everyone has an agenda on the internet. But sometimes you come to a website and you're like, is this true? They got a Volkswagen's got a 300 mile per gallon vehicle and they're not going to sell it in the United States. To me, it's like, sign me up, right? And really what it was is there was this website, and I'm not going to link to it because I don't want to give them any extra kudos, because they really twisted the story in a big way and they told outright lies. And what this vehicle is actually is a prototype, and they're going to make about 200 of them. They're going to be very expensive, over $100,000. And it doesn't need ever to be plugged in to reach this 300 mile per gallon. But this company said, hey, this can't be in the United States because of the oil industry, blah, blah, blah. All these lies, and it really wasn't the case. They made up a story to try to get people to react and get pissed off about stuff that they have really no reason to get mad about. And I just wonder how these sites are not called out and really be brought to task. So don't believe everything you see on the internet. And I'd sure love to have one of these 300 mile per gallon vehicles by Volkswagen, but I don't have the $120K to buy one of the 200 prototypes that they're going to make. Of course, been on the health kick, you know, trying to lose some weight here. And there's an appetite curbing implant that could help those folks that are, you know, really trying to lose some weight. And there's a basically Intromedics is behind the appetite curbing implant that sends electric signals to nerves around the stomach, basically shutting off the I'm hungry messages. So it's supposed to reduce hunger pains, and doesn't say how much it costs or if it's under test or if it's ready. But I'm telling you, they're going to figure out a way to get us fat boys and girls to be skinny one way or the other. Pretty cool story. Teenagers built a browser plugin to show where politicians get their funding. I love this, you know, because it helps to build some transparency. So basically what it does is anytime you go on a website of a U.S. lawmaker, the pop-up will pop up and say, here's who they were, here's who donated to their campaign. And this specific politician got $330,000 from cable broadband, got about $500,000 from a company called Hydra, $250,000 from puppy orphanages. I'm kind of like, what? That's kind of a weird one. But anyway, he's using 2012 data from the last election cycle. So I like to see this kind of stuff done. And it you know, when you see an article and a politician's talking and it can list all the companies that maybe it's even a related topic. He's talking about energy. And you can see, you know, who were the companies, the energy companies that contribute to his campaign. And you get a little better retrospect on who's being bought or has been bought and whether or not their opinions can be trusted or not. Now, there has been a crackdown in Iraq already. I should have talked about this earlier by the government in the internet. And what's been happening is that the Tor network in Iraq has jumped tenfold. So people are still getting on the interwebs out of Iraq, even though the government has shut down many of the sites that the people are trying to get to that they're not allowing. So they've set up a bunch of anonymous Tors as well because they were trying to block, the government tried blocking the main Tor sites. So anyway, they've had the ability here to, you know, circumvent the government, which is great. Getting the information about what's going on. If you're a Reddit fan, Reddit has eliminated the upvote downvote ranking where it says 1, 2, 3. Now it's going to be a percentage. So I guess the Reddit community is all up in arms about this, but that's something new that they've done. Also, the IRS is reminding all of us, based upon the news that's been out there, that we need to hold on to our records for 7 years. Now, if you have a hard drive that crashes, don't worry. You still will be found guilty and made to pay a big fine. So make sure you have your data backed up 3 or 4 places and make sure that you keep your tax returns and all your receipts and everything is going to keep the tax man from, you know, basically making you pay something on something you shouldn't be because you get audited and didn't have the receipt. But we have to keep our data 7 years, but the IRS, they just threw out their hard drives. So I thought I'd just a little cheek and tongue thing there and you know, just having a little fun. The good article over on Yahoo talks about the new iOS 8 camera features. It's a 2-minute dealio. And I think the thing I like the best about the new coming iOS 8 camera features, they're going to have the ability to, through swipe of your thumb, increase the gain, the basically make it brighter or darker based on the situation you're shooting a picture in, which is going to be pretty cool. But there's a number of new features. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Good article on a Huffington Post talking about why retailers must embrace the mobile mindset. I kind of talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. I'll have that up in the link for you to check out. And really what it's all about, it's about, again, that impulse buy. You're walking by something, say, oh, that's cool, and you take it to the counter. Well, if you know, that's where a lot of retail business is done. But if you can restrain yourself and check the price of that item on your phone, it make a big, big difference. Or if the company that you're buying from, a Macy's or a Best Buy, or what makes it real easy to buy something and then either have it drop shipped to your house, the mobile is the way to go to save you those expensive trips with the car and spending gas money. Judge is saying that he's concerned about Apple's, or she is concerned about Apple's Google hiring settlement. And we talked about this before, that Google, Apple, and 2 other tech companies have agreed to pay $324 million in the class action lawsuit. But the judge is basically saying she's got concerns about approving it, in that the plaintiffs have originally asked for about $3 billion in damages, which would have tripled to $9 billion under antitrust laws. And she says, are the Class A filers actually getting a good deal here? Are they, you know, being represented well? So U.S. District Judge Lucy Koh in San Jose must approve the deal, but she is asking hard questions of the legal team. This could get thrown back, and I hope it does, because I don't think Apple, Google, and the other two tech companies that have already settled are paying enough based upon their action. This needs to be so The fine on this needs to be so large that no one ever will consider doing price fixing of salaries ever again. Now, for a while, you could buy, switching topics here, for a while, you could buy a wife or a mobile jamming equipment. And a Chinese vendor was selling those to people in the United States. Now, if you bought one of those, you may have the FCC coming knocking on your door soon. But a Chinese vendor could be forced to pay $34.9 million, the largest FCC fine in its type ever levied. How they're going to get this out of this Chinese company, I don't know. But they also have asked, hey, I want a list of all the customers you sold these jammers to. So be aware, buyer beware, that you could be getting a knock on the door if the Chinese turn this over. I don't think they will. And I don't think they'll ever collect on this judgment. But I will say that after 47 years in print, Computer World is going digital only. I just wondered how come they've still been print all these years. I used to get Computer World religiously, and I mean, those things were thick, glossy, beautiful, but they say they're going to online version only. And they're not going to change anything, but they're just going to continue to create great content. So that's kind of an interesting move here. Computer World, no more print. Digital only. Makes sense. The former FCC commissioner is, and I don't know when he retired, Michael Kopp. So let me look at this. Here, Michael Kopp's, and I go to Wikipedia on him. I don't have time to do this, but basically, former FCC Commissioner Michael Kopp is not happy with the current state of U.S. broadband service, under which the watch of former top cable lobbyist and current FCC head Tom Wheeler. He's basically saying we should be ashamed of ourselves, of the current state of the United States broadband system. He had a speech that he made to, who was it? I guess he did an interview with the consumerist. And he says, I'm not here to celebrate. I'm here to advocate. He said that true competition is crucial to ensuring the United States broadband best serves consumers, but the U.S. market is not currently set up to encourage competition. He says, we've fallen so short that we should be ashamed of ourselves, referring to the quality of U.S. broadband compared to other countries. We should be leading and we're not. We need to get serious about broadband. We need to get serious about competition, and we need to get serious about our country. I agree. Slow internet equals slow economy. Fast, incredibly high-speed internet equals opportunities. And he urged the FCC and Congress to do more, but I don't think they will. These lobbyists like Comcast, they spend millions of dollars making sure that senators and House of Representative members stay in line. Like, the Comcast CEO plays golf with the president, for goodness sake. Do you think Comcast is not going to get their deal? Of course they are. There's nothing going to stop that. We can complain all we want. It's going to happen. You know, it's all about the do-re-mi. AMC Network plans for an internet TV service. This has been leaked. Don't expect Mad Men, but they do want to have multiple categories, and they want to be in the internet television market. Woohoo! More the merrier. Bring it on. They're talking about documentaries, horror, possibly help video startups, that type of stuff. So very, very cool. So we'll see where this goes. And we'll have to watch AMC closely. All right, article over on Gizmodo. The Soviets, the sub that took 20 years to build is finally ready. Talk about serious cost overrun and engineering issues. Of course, the K329 is the first of the Russian Yasen-class nuclear attack submarine, successor to their older Akula-class and designed to counter America's nuclear-powered Seawolf and Virginia-class submarines. Those Virginia-class submarines are monsters. But basically, when the economy collapsed in the Soviet Union, really their ability to build more submarines didn't progress. So basically, this has been 20 years in happening, but it's going to be a pretty incredible sub for sure. But the United States already has 21 Virginia-class submarines actively serving and another 7 in the development pipeline at probably a couple billion dollars apiece. But the Russians have 1, and but they're mighty proud of it. Link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, there's a new iOS 8 feature that was dug out called Map City Tours. And basically, you fly over a city and see highlighted, you know, basically tourist trap places. And so it's pretty cool. And basically, you know, you have a bird's eye view of a city, and it drills you into different locations, tell you a little bit about it, and gives you really some ideas on where to go when you're touring a city you may not be familiar with. Hey, Google has acquired MDialog. This is a big one. They announced that they acquired the video advertising company MDialog. Of course, the company works by inserting advertising into videos. And they originally started a business a long time ago, almost 10 years ago, with $8 million in funding. But this is it's a big move. I don't know how much they were purchased for. But I'm very familiar with MDialog and what they do in the space. Congratulations to that team. Hackers have been able to reverse engineer an NSA spy kit using off-the-shelf parts. Well, apparently there was a document that was produced that talked about a catalog of gear that they use. And the hackers have been very slowly making gears based upon the specifications they found in that catalog. So, yeah, now all the hackers in the world are going to have the same tools as some of the same tools as the NSA does. That don't know about you, but that makes me go, oh, crap, here we go. All right, kind of a weird article about Rackspace. I read it in this article that Rackspace has got some financial troubles. I wasn't aware of that, but they have revealed the secret to servers that Google and Amazon have. And basically, you're now able to rent from Rackspace these multi-core machines that are basically put on like a pizza plate. Not quite a pizza plate, but something that is a little metal shelf. And kind of interesting move here. They're trying to get in that business by renting those, you know, those high-powered machines to companies that need that kind of computing power. Also, SpaceX secret sauce to land its reusable Falcon 9 rocket is being demonstrated in a 5-minute video that they filmed yesterday. And the folks at SpaceX are getting ready to bring one in at high speed here pretty soon. Not just launch it from a launch pad, but really put one out there a ways and then re-enter and land back on the pad. It'll be exciting when that really happens. They're going to make huge, huge history. Also, be very careful about the chargers that you're using with your mobile devices. If you're using a non-authorized, non-certified charger, you're asking for trouble, especially with iPhones. Be very wary of using non-pre-approved, non-licensed chargers. You could be asking for a brick. In other words, a.k.a. you brick your device because you let the smoke out because you burn it up using a charger that you shouldn't. All right, let's go ahead and look at what we've got here for email. And loading my email right now. I should have had that already opened. Okay, so today's date is... Oh, I know there's some more email here. What is today? Today's the 19th. What's going on? It's still opening the folder. I'll wait here for a second for it. There we go. Gosh, I was freaking out there because I knew a bunch of email come in and it wasn't being showed up. All right. Not a huge amount, but I got an email from Jukebox Jezebel, and he's asking me what kind of backup software that I recommended a few years ago. And let me think if I can... It runs in the background. It's automated for me. Which one am I using right now? I know this off the... I should have had this already pre... Oh, man. I'm not going to be able to give an answer, am I? I thought I was. Let me look. Is it underneath the maintenance folder? Oh, boy. That sucks. I was just using it, too. Maybe it's down here in the box. Let me look. No. Oh, crap. I'm not going to be able to give you the answer on the show tonight. I thought I would just be able to open up and... Acronis. That's what I use. I use Acronis for all my backup stuff. I have used sync programs before. There's a good sync program with that Microsoft just offers with Windows. I think it's called Sync Tool. But I use Acronis for local backups. And then I use Carbonite for my computer backup. One thing I've been looking at is I've been looking for a program that will back stuff up to S3. Does anybody know of a program that runs on Windows that integrates nicely with Amazon S3 or even Glacier, their permanent backup solution? If you know something, let me know. Also got an email here from Tim. Tim, we talked about during the show about T-Mobile and them giving a 7-day test drive of an iPhone 5S. I want to thank you for that. Definitely appreciate your email. Also got an email from Sam, our insider coordinator. And Sam says, on Monday, Todd mentioned he will be seeking guest hosts for the show while he is on vacation. Robbie Ferguson at Category 5 Tech TV was a good choice, along with Don Bain, Gadget Professor. But do any of you have suggestions for future guests? And Sam's taking inputs to that on who we should asked to come on and be a guest again for three shows while I'm following the third of July is when I head out through the get back here to 13th. But if you have suggestions to guest hosts, let me know and we'll see if we can get them on for the podcast. All right, I think that's going to wrap me up, folks. Those of you that become insiders, I really, really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. For all of you that are longtime subscribers, being here, being part of the HANA, again, you guys keep the feedback coming. I definitely appreciate it. If you're new to the show, we hope that you get subscribed today. But I'm just about out of gas here, and so it's time for me to punch out. But definitely feel free to email me geeknews@gmail.com or reach out to me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, the link to the Facebook page and the Google Plus communities page that is available to everyone is also available in the show notes. Otherwise, everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. We'll see you. Take care and aloha.